Welcome to Executing the Vision podcast. I'm your host, Brad Hunter, president of Emerge Labs. On the podcast, we'll get to know the person behind the vision, their successes, their challenges, and their plans for the future. If you're interested in becoming a guest or know someone who might be a good fit, stick around to the end and we'll discuss how to apply. Now, enjoy the show. I'd like to welcome everybody here, Executing the Vision. And today we've got Dustin with Red, White, and Badass Coffee Company. Is that, that's the correct name, isn't it?
Yeah, close. You know, it's Red, White, and Badass Brew.
But Badass Brew. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it. Yeah, we kind of did a different spin on it, man, than the coffee.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. So first, what I want to just like to do is have everybody get an idea of just where you're from. Where'd you grow up? What was life all about there? And then the one question I like to ask on that front too is, what lesson did you learn in childhood that you feel like applies today to your business?
Oh man, that, oof. How much time do we got? So I grew up in Oklahoma. I had kind of I wouldn't say like super rough upbringing, but you know, rough upbringing. My mom wasn't really around. My dad was there, but he's a firefighter and owned a construction business. So it kind of, he was a little bit of a harder soul, and how he grew up was not the easiest way. But my childhood was still pretty good. He did the best he could for me, as a father. And, but man, I struggled in school, was not very good at all in school all the way. I mean, hell, I fell first grade. I got held back in first grade. So that was like my sign of like my school career was, getting held back in first grade.
And what do you think that was? Because there's a lot of talk about that. I feel like these days. We have two children that are in third grade. And the one that is actually quite smart. I mean, he can sit down and read any book you and I could read, but does struggle in school. And, you know, so we do a fair amount of research on what's that about and everything. Like, what for your situation, why did it seem like that was the case? Because obviously you're successful in life. And so what was it about school that was so challenging?
There's a couple of things. Childhood trauma was one of them. I think a lot of things that happen in kids' childhoods go undiagnosed or misdiagnosed. And mine had to do with a couple of things. ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactive disorder. And in the 80s, they didn't know really how to deal with kids who had it. And then on top of that, the childhood trauma with that as well. So I had a couple different issues going on. My mom wasn't really around in the picture. She left when I was 8. Some other things kind of happened with my mom's side of the family. I came into school with already, my grandmother abused me. So I came into school with already this like spun up mentality that was just different than other kids. And so I came up with a lot of hyperactiveness. I had a lot of emotions that I did not know how to get out and how to properly deal with this kind of rage that was going on inside me. And so, I took that out on kind of authoritarian figures, so like school teachers, stuff like that. I mean, I wasn't a bad kid. I had a really good heart, but like authority, forget about it. You're going to try to put your power over me, you just ain't going to do it. So I had this kind of sense of like, just you're not going to tell me what to do. And then I always had the sense of I was never good enough. For people, you know, like my mom, you know, took off. So I had this sense like I was never good enough and I always had to kind of prove myself, but it was easier to let everybody down than to prove myself. So if I set just bad expectations, well, shit, they just have this bad expectation of me. So I didn't have real expectations of growing up. I had no this desire to fulfill this destiny. I was just living and trying to get by day to day. With my own thoughts in my own head, and trying to escape those. So I fell into the wrong crowd, man. Early on, and just struggled in school.
And that was then that kind of carried on all through high school.
So I was getting C's and D's in like fourth, fifth grade, middle school, D's, probably some F's, maybe. I can't remember, but very low in the grading poll. I hit high school, rocked the cliff, boom, failed completely, miserably. In 10th grade, I failed ninth grade. I think I got 1A, and that was physical education. And I didn't even show up for physical education half the time. So then I, 10th grade came around. I just told my dad, I was like, hey, listen, I'm not going to be able to, I'm going to be 20, 21 years old before I graduate high school. If I ever graduate high school, this isn't for me. I still had a head on my shoulder. So I wasn't a dumbass kid. I just was smart, just book wise. I just could not apply myself and I didn't know how. And confidence. I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself to do that either. I just thought, my mom didn't want me. My dad's hard on me. There's not a lot of love. So, why love myself? So, high school, man, I just told my dad, I was like, hey, I need to get out of here and I need to drop out of high school. There's nothing I'm going to do here. So he's like, great, man, 30 days, get your shit together and get out. And so that's how I was like, you know what? I'm going to go join the military. So join the Navy. And growing up, everybody told me I couldn't do things. I'm not good. I just couldn't do things. So getting in the military was my first test of could I do something and could I do it on my own. And that right then and there, right when I joined and when I made that decision, I've already broken the mold. I've already proven that I could take a step to go do something that other people said I couldn't do. Now it's just go and prove it and do it in the military. So I went in the military and actually found some solace in the military and just really excelled in it and graduated A school, first of my class. Again, I'm a kid who dropped out of high school with struggling in school, and I graduated first in my A school, my training.
And now, would you say that, because you talked before about having a problem with authority, and obviously it doesn't seem like the military is a place where that flies. Now, so would you say that was a thing where when you made that commitment and decided, I'm leaving high school, I'm going to do this, were you then had a bit of a change of your attitude, or was it more like once you arrived, they made it clear that this shit's no longer going to fly?
Yeah, they made it clear this shit's no longer going to fly. I wouldn't, people who have a problem with authority they actually kind of do pretty well in the military, especially once they get like leadership training and get some proper leadership training, they can do very well. Yeah. So that wouldn't be a deterrent for somebody to go in. I think it was just the authority around me, and it wasn't really necessarily authority. It was just like this confidence, this people telling me like what to do, and I have all this rage that was inside of me, dude, like really, really hard rage. Like, I did try to commit suicide as a kid. And, that was because I didn't know how to deal with the emotions, let alone I didn't know it was going to carry on, fucking 20 years later, essentially. Or actually before that, it'd be 13, 14 years later would be another almost time. I almost did that too. I went in there and I didn't go in there with my emotions unchecked, but it gave me something to work towards. It gave me something to build on. And it gave me a purpose. Before the military, I had no purpose. I had no drive. There was nothing there. I was just a empty kid doing bad shit, And I wasn't bad. I wasn't like out there stealing, But I was just out there smoking weed, chasing girls. I didn't get into hard stuff because I saw what it did. I did rekindle with my mom later on. A little bit, but then it just went off the hill because of there was some drug use with that as well, and that I saw her doing. And I was like, fuck that. I don't want that. That's not a part of me. By the way, I don't know if I can cuss on your show, dude. Is that cool?
Yeah, whatever. You're fine. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I drug use was just, it was rampant. It was all over. But heavy drugs wasn't my thing. I didn't really like it. I didn't like not being in control of myself. So alcohol was a vice, though, I used, and that often brings out the worst in me, you know, bring out a demon, the bad side of Dustin.
Right.
And so, yeah, man, then I just joined the military, and I played hard and I worked hard, because that was one of the things I was just like, all right, I'm here. I can do this. And in the military, I was really good at what I did. And I was an E2, and I was training like E5s, E6s in the Navy on how to do a job, which is not that common. So my leadership saw something in me. But I was a knucklehead, man. I went out and partied just really hard after work too. So, and that carried on for a couple of years, for a while actually. And then, I ended up, getting married at a young age in the military. And then from there, I kind of got voluntold to do a job to fly UAVs. So, UAVs are drones. And they do all the surveillance, intelligence, reconnaissance, and surveillance for special warfare. So it was, that was pretty much the beginning and the end of the career. That was.
And now initially that starts the idea. You're just still based here in the States for the most part doing that. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Well, no, I wasn't based here in the States. That is like the big predators, global hawks, stuff like that. Those big drones, those are based out here in the States. The ones I flew, we would go out with the teams or whatever unit we're attached to, and we would go out with them and do all their drone surveillance, or they would do it from a hub. But we were kind of one of the first ones to kind of get integrated with the SEAL teams. And that was kind of that was a really neat opportunity. And
for the most part in that situation, so you're working with the SEAL teams, you're going on a mission, the drones are kind of that reconnaissance, the eyes in the sky type thing for the most part?
Yeah, so we do a lot of pre-planning. So we'll look at all of the activities, see what's going on before the mission, and see who's kind of moving around, who's meandering, see what the activity is, see what the vibe is in the area. And then we'll ramp up and we'll start kind of getting ready for the mission. And it depends on what kind of mission, you know, so there's a lot of different levels of what we're going to be doing and how we're going to be treating and how we're going to do surveillance based on that mission. But for the most part, if we were out in the middle of Afghanistan, we would do, they call it hearts and minds. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. You know, this hearts and minds, we're going to go out there and try to win the hearts of the local farmers and shit like that. Terrible idea. But they, it's cause it's, I mean, it's hard to say if it even worked, because I can get into that later. I mean, you have the Taliban on one side, you have the American, you know, forces and UN forces on one side, and you got the people who just are farmers and they just want to be left the hell alone. So you got us trying to help them out to get intel. And then you got, you know, Al Qaeda over here saying, oh, hey, if you do this, we're going to kill you and your family. So, just a terrible idea, man. It was just
right. They just want to,
I mean,
stay,
we got
out
some great, yeah, well, yeah, they just want to stay out, but we got some great intel. So we'll go and fly. But normally, what we do is hearts and minds. We go out in the community, you know, see who's there, identify bad guys while they're out there. So we'll ramp up on purpose, we'll stage up on purpose, and then we get the vibe, see how everybody's acting. And then you just start seeing the shift. Then you start seeing people go hiding. Then you start seeing people starting laying some batteries, connecting IEDs. Then you start seeing some people who are lookouts. And then you'd see the activity. Then you'll see them start moving some cache weapons around. Yeah, so it's a cat and mouse game, which was, it was fun as hell to do. I loved it. But and then, you know, certain other missions, you know, they're not being seen. We're just flying around making sure we don't have anybody ambushing or anything like that. Or, you know, checking out the area, make sure they're safe, as safe as you can be in the middle of war, you know. Yeah. So, I got voluntold to do that job. It was one of my CEOs. I had a closer relationship with him, and he's like, "Hey, dude, you should go do this job." And I was like, "Well, what is that?" Well, I didn't even know what a drone was. That's crazy. I had no idea what a drone was. He's like, "Oh, it's like playing video games, man." And I'm like, "Great, I don't play video games." And sitting behind a computer, banging my head against the wall. No. And I was just like, "Yeah, no, sir." He's like, "Great, I'm going to take that as a yes." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? Like, great." And so I had to go tell my wife at the time. I was like, "Hey, I'm got signed up for this job. I have no idea what it is. So you can ask me all the questions you want. I will know nothing about this." And he didn't even, nobody even knew. It was a brand new program. Not brand new, but like very new program. And so they didn't even, the training pipeline was nothing like I've ever seen in the military ever. Matter of fact, it wasn't even military training. It was all civilian training. And very small portion at the very end was military training. So they send us in this training, fly us and spend a lot of money to teach us how to fly UAVs. And then they send us to Afghanistan, or my unit to Afghanistan. And that's a unit, we only had like six dudes. And so we go to Afghanistan. They didn't teach us how to, I mean, they sent us to like a 4 day school of like, you got an hour of land ops, convoy training. Shooting was I was already kind of good at, so that wasn't an issue. But they didn't teach you how to really be a fucking soldier. So here we are in the middle of war, and I'm like, what do I do? And the funny story I like to tell is first time, I mean, just got into theater. I'm on this helo, and I'm surrounded by SEALs, and I'm sitting between the SEAL's legs, and I'm sitting here like, okay, flying. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom happens. And I clinch up and like jump. But you're not jumping. You're just clinching up. I'm like, oh my God. Like, what the hell was that? And this freaking guy behind me, he starts laughing. He's like, hey, can you do that again? Because my butt cheeks clamped up so hard, So he's making this freaking joke. And I start laughing. I was just like, yeah, that's funny. So immediately he knew. He's like, oh my God, this guy is greener than grass, man. We get out of the helo. They start stacking up and, taking positions. And so I don't know what to do. I've never done this. So I just kind of like on this other SEAL's hip and like, okay, fuck it. I'm just gonna stick with this guy. Like I have no idea what to do. My M4 wasn't even loaded. So if they were shooting at us, I wasn't shooting back. I wouldn't even have a magazine in my M4. And I was like, oh crap. So I was like, I pulled one out. Like, did anybody see that? And at that moment, though, which they did see it. So at that moment, I thought for sure they were just going to say, you know what? This guy is more dangerous than anything else out here. We don't want him out here. We want somebody who has that kind of experience, which that didn't really exist in the UAV world at the time. So anyway, they ended up kind of taking me underneath the wing and training me up a little bit, which was awesome. So, and
Yeah,
then
I was gonna say. So it seems, obviously, to me, by the name of your company, the military was an unbelievable experience for you, right? Changed your life, and you're very committed to it and everything there.
Yeah, man, it did. It really did change my life. And it changed for the better. I didn't see the time. I ended up getting hurt. It ended up just ended my military career. I was going to do 20 years. And I went and fought it up in Washington, and the doctor said, or the panel, I can't remember what they call it anyway, the medical board panel said, you're a liability, not an asset. And so here I am, not much different than I was when I was 18 years old, 16 years old, in Oklahoma, but now I have a wife, mortgage, and kids. And so now I'm stuck, like, what the hell am I gonna do with my life? Man, I was lost. It job in and out, came
Yeah,
out.
and so you're now over there in the military for how long before you got injured?
I was in for 12 years.
Okay.
About
Okay.
11 and a half years. Yeah.
Okay. So you've been at this for a long time. This is like your life. You're part of the team. This is the jam. Things are great.
Yep.
And then, bam, you get a random injury.
Yeah.
And then you, next thing you know, you're just.
It just spiraled out of control, man. From ankle injury to now back injury to head issues. It was just fucking one thing after another. And I was like, oh my God. And I really felt worthless, you know, after they were done with me. I felt discarded, you know, just like I was, just like I was when I was a kid. I felt discarded. So I didn't have a mission. I didn't have a drive. I didn't have a purpose anymore. Lost it. Gone. Identity just sucked right out of me.
And then now, what about the guys then you're with? Because obviously, you know, to me, it's, yeah, in hearing your story previously, right, you know, that the idea that, you know, military is amazing, you know, to change your life for the better. But then all of a sudden they kind of turn and kick you in the ass, you know, from a random injury you get there. You know, it would seem like there's possibilities that, you know, just bitterness and never want to look back and never want to just turn and, you know, close that chapter of your life. But yet you've then built a company that's very dedicated to supporting veterans. And so I guess explain like that part, which I assume it's the idea that just kind of the brotherhood you made there, like, was stronger and way more important than whatever the, you know, whatever management decided.
Yeah. So it wasn't just the brotherhood. It was the brotherhood, the people that I've met, who kind of helped me pull through it. One of my best friends actually, helped me really pull through the darkest times. I was like, shit, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. But it was also the network that I built around me too at the time. You know, that was one of the things I was good at, is just being a good, positive person. No matter what, I put the mask on, man. I call it a mask. You know, nobody could tell that Dustin was going through stuff, because growing up, I could not show. There was not a lot of emotion being shown. So, boom, put that on. You know, my wife probably saw the darkest side of me. And that was probably the only person at the time that saw that dark side of me, is because she was around 24/7. You know, and she was my rock, and just, you know, but yeah, man, the brotherhood was fantastic. You know, when I got retired, I didn't have a regret. I didn't really have a lot of remorse. I just missed the camaraderie. I missed the brotherhood. And it wasn't the job. The job was fantastic, but it was just my support structure. It was just kind of ripped the fuck out, man. And so that's what you know, what military brings, is when you got that unit of people, man, and you're tight, that support structure is huge. That is your support structure. When you go into that room with those guys that you're working next to every single day, they are your therapist. People just don't realize that. And then it's just gone. You know, and now you have this thing. You're taking this kid who never really functioned outside of the military, brought him into the military, functioned very well, and now his identity completely stripped from him. What is he supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? You know, it was hard, man. I took it hard. You know, because it wasn't just retiring. It was like, I didn't finish. So here I have something else in my life I didn't finish. You know, wow. So now all these confidence issues start coming back. Now these people say I am not good enough. You know, now I'm out in this element that I'm not good enough. I've been told my whole life, I've proven my whole life that I'm not good enough. I can't be out here. I can't function out here. Couldn't find a job. Finally took a handyman job. Actually, I didn't take a handyman job. A buddy of mine gave me a handyman job. It was like, hey, I'll pay you $15 an hour. And I was just like, because I was like, shit, I'm not even going to be able to feed my family. You know, like, all right, I'll take $15 an hour. And so started doing handyman stuff for him. And then I was like, damn, why am I doing this? I can do my own construction business. So that's how that led into the construction business, just being a handyman. And that was my first real education into business. I went to school, I was going to school at the same time, but and getting my business degree. But yeah, man, I was that was my first education into it. That was my first lick of business, man, my first taste of business. And boom, I found love, found my drive, found my purpose, I found a vision. I tell guys getting out now, forget about the mission, man. Mission's done. Once you're out, the mission is no longer there, man. You completed the mission. You know, what's your vision? Let's look at your vision. What's your vision for the rest of your life? Let's work on that now. This is your time for you to work on things that you envisioned when you were in the military. Now let's work on those. Let's get you there. So now I found my drive and my purpose, man, with being an entrepreneur.
And so
And
then you initially got into the construction with a partner,
yeah.
and then things went awry there. And
Yeah,
so then.
so yeah, the partner ended very badly. I lost everything I owned. Lost my house, my cars, trucks, everything. I
And
went
that was
from
over, what was the time span there?
shit a year. It
Yeah.
was in 2020. In 2020 it started, and then by end of 2021 it was not the end of 2021, but like 2022, beginning 2022, it was over. It was done. You know, and I fought as long as I possibly could for the house, but it was a losing battle, man. You know, it was hard. That was a hard
Yeah.
one. You know, but you know, come back better, stronger, and better. So
And so then now you're had something you found a passion about. You were excited, things started doing good, partner goes sideways, things get really ugly there, and now you're kind of back, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. It was more of that started happening at that time in 2020. Then the construction business lawsuit started happening. Now the verge of bankruptcy was looking very, very real. Foreclosing on my house, you know, the it wasn't making the payments. I was good with money. It was we had a line of credit through the construction business, and they were like, and my house was attached to it, and so they're like, we want our money. We want our money. And that was bad. And then my oldest son, same time, 2021, fell into drugs. And senior in high school, 4.3 GPA, smart as a whip. What you were talking about earlier about your kid, man. Pick up any book, can read any book. This kid's 10 times more brilliant than I'll ever be. And gotten drugs and over with a woman. With a girl, and I had that same talk that I had with him, that my dad had with me. Hey, man, you gotta get your shit together or get out. And he's still finding his way today. And then my oldest daughter, about a month after he left the house, tried to commit suicide. And that was all in 2021. And then that was the time after that, I wrote five letters to five different buddies of mine, and I was done. I was going to commit suicide. And the day I was going to do it, I went to go visit a buddy of mine. And at the end of it, I told him, "Hey, dude, I love you, buddy. It's been great knowing you." You know, and he's very kind of in tune with, you know, what's going on. He's like, "What the hell are you talking about?" And I just told him, "I'm lousy, dude. I'm a lousy father. I'm a lousy partner. I can't catch a break in life. You know, I'm just done. I'm tired of being tired, and I just want to end it. You know, I just want to not wake up anymore. Because ever since, you know, going through all this, lost all my money, I was just tired and I was done. I was ready to end it. Every day I'd wake up not wanting to wake up, and every moment I was awake would be consumed by thoughts of suicide. And at that moment, that was kind of a breaking point, and then. Soon after my house was getting taken, or I had to either get taken or sell it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be homeless. My credit shot. I'm going to be living in probably in my truck if that ain't getting taken. So, I'm going to be somewhere. I'm going to be just living by the creek somewhere. I couldn't fathom the moment because I thought all the material things mattered in life. These people who saw me as this great success has now seen me as a complete disaster, utter failure. And in their eyes, I'm like, wow, I just made the ultimate failure. And I had a hard time facing that kind of music. And so I was done. I took some pills, grabbed my gun, drank a little bit, and was ready to commit suicide, ended up passing out. And my same buddy came over because of I called my daughter and was just like, hey, love you. You know, I didn't really know she was this in tune to her feelings at this point in her life. But she realized something was off with me and told her mom. And then her mom got a hold of my best friend, James. And then he came over to my house and realized everything was locked up, shuttered up, the whole nine yards. And police came and all the whole nine yards, man. And that was the start. That day was the start of me getting better. Because after I woke up, he was just like, hey, dude, cops are here, blah, blah, blah. I had the gun still in my hand. I put the gun away. Cops came, answered the questions right, so I didn't go to, so I didn't get a 5150. And what that means is mentally insane, or mental health issues, and they take all my guns away, which they probably should have. That day he stayed with me, slept with me in my bed, so the alcohol and pills would get on my system, and then started getting help that day. Next day, started getting help, and been better ever since.
So, wow.
Yeah, and coffee was the one thing that actually I looked forward to through all that, man.
That's what the now journey started there with that idea, right? You made the comment of like coffee was the thing you enjoyed. And so that's kind of what got you pointed down the path you're on now.
That's exactly it, man. Red, white, and badass brew. That's how it was born. So it was, I had another business besides that. I cleaned solar panels. And so right as the construction business started going bad, I was like, shit, I need a source of income. I need money. So my thought wasn't to go get a job. It was just like, all right, well, go do another business. And so that was business number three. I started a solar cleaning business and did really well. But then in 2021, same thing, the same year, man, that year was, wow. Like, God, you have put the stress on my shoulders and the weight was unbearable. Found out I had skin cancer as well. And I didn't even think about it. Like, when they told me, I was just like, man, well, I'm dying anyway, so not that big of a news. Like,
it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Anything else? You want a foot too? Like, you know, I can't walk. Go ahead. You know. So yeah, yeah. They cut that out of me, and now, but you know, I look back at the year, man, and I'm just like, wow. Like, people getting the news that they have skin cancer or cancer period would be like devastating. Do you know what I mean? Like, completely. I was just like, man, okay. Like, you beat me to it. wild, man. But now, man, live, I'm alive, thriving. And our mission is to help people out, man. Our mission is to help veterans that are suicidal, to help prevent them from committing that permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's talk about the coffee. So you start kind of like getting into that and realize that, hey, this is a passion I have. I love business. I love coffee. How do I bring these things together and make something out of this? So kind of just walk me through that little process and how the ball got rolling there.
So I sold my solar clean business, and I'm not even going to say, I didn't even have a passion for it at the time. I didn't even have a passion for it. I just sold my solar cleaning business, and this is in 2021 as well. So in 2021, I'm telling you, man, it was fucking a wild ass year. And so I sold it, and I was sitting there drinking Starbucks and going, what in the hell am I going to do with my life now? You know, just like, I have to do something. And I was like, man, I just bought this $6 Starbucks. I don't even like it. And I bought this. I was like, how did they get me to buy this shitty ass coffee? So I put it aside and I was like, how to start a coffee business, Google. And so I really went to Google and said, how do you start a coffee business? And I was like, oh shit, I got a buddy who has a little roaster. I was like, hey, dude, do you know how to roast coffee still? He's like, yeah, man, come on over. So went over to his little shop and there, boom. Within a week, I had it wasn't Red, White, and Badass Brew initially. It was Basic Badass Coffee Company is what it was because I like pumpkin spice, man. And so all my guys, everybody who knows me calls me Basic Bitch because of I like pumpkin spice. So and I mean like pumpkin spice coffee, pumpkin spice everything. Dude, I have pumpkin spice honey in my cupboard right now. So they call me a basic bitch. And so I made this little video of me eating pumpkin spice crap, just food, whatever it was, food. And, because they would always tag me on Facebook with like pumpkin spice crap. And so finally, I was just like, screw it. I'm going to get the last laugh. I made this video of me eating this pumpkin spice stuff. And then people actually liked it. And then I started making stupid videos about it. And fucking, you see it, man, on YouTube and TikTok and all that crap. People like that stuff. And so then I just call myself Basic Badass. And then that's how Basic Badass Coffee Company was born. And it was closed real quick, like a month after I started it because of Badass Coffee of Hawaii.
Oh,
So
gotcha.
yeah, assist and deceased letter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my first instinct was like, well, I've already acted as my own lawyer before, and you guys aren't big enough. I fought the union. So watch this and hold my beer. And I was going to Xerox scan my ass and put some lips on it and say kiss it and send that back to him as my response. But then I thought about it. I was like, I'm not really attached to this name. And then I started writing down names, and Red, White, and Badass Brew is how that was born. And how I came up with that name, I was like, damn, that name right there, that identifies me as a person. It shows what I stand for. And you don't have, there's nothing, you know exactly what we do, except for it does get confused with beer. Yeah, but it's okay.
Okay, and yeah, talk to me about so my impression of the coffee company, like the website, the name, the marketing, the names of all the different coffees. I
Yeah.
love like the marketing, and you kind of mentioned that, going for a lifestyle,
Yeah.
right, type company with merchandise and all those things. So where does that come? Are you the brainchild of all of that, or where
All of
does
it.
that come from? Because yeah,
All
and
of
then
it.
you got like, where does the graphic design work come? I mean, it's super impressive. Like one of them, just scrolling down and seeing the names of your coffee and the designs of them and everything is just a fun thing to scroll through the website. It's funny, I went bought some the other day, and that's when I ordered some and told my buddy, I'm like, you have to see this website. Like every single one of these things is so such like great name, so cool looking.
Yeah, man, I came up with the vision. And so I'm the visionary behind the branding, the marketing. Hold on, but we have to stop. I thank you so much for saying that. But I don't see it. It's not that hard. I'm not an artist. Just straight up, like you give me a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper, I'm not over there doing a Picasso. Like I can barely draw a straight stick figure. So a lot of programs that help me out with this, but I just start kind of brainstorming, man, and going through the names and saying, all right, what coffee am I using? And then that's how I start building. Then I'm like, okay, how does this make me feel? Like what is this in this coffee that makes me feel? And I'm like, all right. And then I start taking my notes and then I start formulating a name. And then I'd come up with the name, and then boom, man, I'll just hit one. I'm like, you're it, dude. You're it. Like, no luck's given. St. Pat, exactly what that means. Like, there's no nothing about it. No luck's given, man. It's a great name. And then I come up with some labels and we'll have a little program that, helps me out in it. And then, yeah, man. So if you like these, man, just wait, dude. Just, hold my beer moment, man. We got some stuff coming.
It's
That
so
are,
then too, and then on the coffee flavors. So the
yep.
whiskey one arrived, and just the smell of it. amazing, right? As soon as you take it out of the box and like smell the whole thing. And so, yeah, you know, once again, like a very creative, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of just kind of creative. And so at least for me, there's that, I can fall into that creative space, right? Where just that thinking of the different names, the different, you know, kind of flavors you want to make, all that stuff. And then the struggle is now flip the switch and get in that operational mindset, right? Now have to flip that switch and deal with accounting, have to flip that switch and deal with all of the operational organizational. And that's where I personally, like, I feel like if I can do either one of those things really, really well, if I just get in the space, I feel like, right? But what's so hard for me is that idea of, you know, look at my calendar for the day and it's like, okay, this part of the day, I need to do something really creative. And then I need to like shift gears and then do the real operational focus stuff. And that's always just a personal challenge, like for me to be able to effectively, because I'm, if I'm into the marketing, if I'm into the creative, then I just want to keep going, right? Like to stop and do the other is just like, this feels like torture, or vice versa, right? If I'm in the like mindset of just getting things done and blah, 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 to stop and now try to be creative is just like, I can't even do it. I can't even do it.
It's hard, man. That is a super struggle, is to sit down and do that, just because, you know, one, business is chaos. And I think that's where I find a little bit of solace into it, because it's just, oh, something always chaotic going on. But switching that mindset, man, it's super hard, dude. I am like butterfly. Woo, let me go check that butterfly out. I mean, you know what I mean? Sparkly things over here. Let me go check that out. You know, especially when shit that I don't want to do, like accounting. Oh my God. Anything, dude. I can hear about whales at the beach. And I'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool. But how are lions doing? You know, like, I mean, you know, like, cause I just don't want to do it. It's super hard. You have to, especially for me, cause I mean, I still have ADHD. So I'm still like a little child that's just buzzing around, man. I have to really sit and focus and getting in mindset. So what I usually do is I do that at night, because now it's like, okay, I don't like it. You know, I have my day where day I can be productive. And just, and then I can just, you know, meander on and power through that as best as I can. But you know, it's the struggles of new business, you know, and that's the thing is, man, if you can just mindset, get that mindset in there and knock it out, eventually you're going to have somebody do the job you don't want to do. And that's the motivator for me. It's like, boom, let's build this. I need somebody in this specific realm because I don't want to do it. Like, I love the creative aspect. I love making the videos. I love making, you know, funny videos. I mean, I have a whole ton of scripts just ready to be built out and stuff like that, because that's fun, that creative side. I didn't even know I was that creative, actually. Had no idea. And then, you know, building the labels, building the, you know, the bags, making it look designed, the catchiness, all that stuff, man. I love that aspect of it. I love going out and meeting new people. Love the events. I love networking. I suck at sales. That's one thing I suck at. I don't suck at getting in front of people. Everybody's like, oh, you're a natural salesman. I was like, well, how come I can't sell water to a freaking dehydrated camel? You know, it's a closing part, man. It's an art. Those guys who can go out there and close is an art, man. And I love those guys doing it. But you know, it's also executing the vision, man. And the vision is the big thing. And our vision is open coffee shops, is to be one of the leading coffee shops in America. And that's really our goal, man. And that's our biggest drive and our biggest focus this year. And we're taking some steps to really do that. And in this last month, we've just made some phenomenal contacts. Like we're going to go meet Ron White, you know, the comedian.
Oh, yeah. How'd that come about?
We're going to a show, and check this out. We're doing the Good Guys Car Show in Scottsdale, Arizona. We have Red, White, and Badass Brew is going to be out there, you know, serving some free samples and selling our swag and the bags of coffee. And I wanted to see him. He was coming to San Diego, And I was like, oh man, I really want to see this. Like, oh, I can't see this guy because of X, Y, and Z. Oh, because it was the 15th and we were going to be in Arizona. And then I saw he had a show the 16th in Scottsdale, Arizona. I was like, shit, I'll talk to my buddy. And so I told my buddy, he's like, hey, dude, you want to go see Ron White? He's like, hell yeah. So we bought tickets. That was that. And I was sitting there thinking, you know what would be cool? If we can get Ron White a t-shirt of ours and say, in one of our t-shirts on the back, it says, I have trust issues. And I was like, I wonder if we can get him an ammo can box. So we have these cool ass real ammo cans that we put. It's a gift set and it's going to be available on the website here probably next month. But, you know, we have a gift set. It's a big ass ammo can. Nice. Cool. Our logo on it. Two bags of coffee. A tumbler with our logo on it and a t-shirt. And I was like, you know what? I wonder if we can get this in this guy's hands. So I just went to the internet, man, and fired up the old fingertips, like, cat, 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 cat. Went through contact to contact, finally got one, and got a hold of his manager. And I was like, hey, man, this is who we are. This is what we're about. And I didn't ask them. I was just like, dude, can I just get you guys product? I just want to get this in his hands. I don't want to meet the dude. I'm not a big starstruck kind of guy. I was like, just get it in his hands. And if he likes coffee, great. He'll maybe post about it. I don't know. You know, or tell his friends. And they're like, yeah. So then they come back and say, hey, man, yeah, we'll get you in front of Ron White and you can have us and give you his product and give you our product. And so, yeah, man, we're going to give him product. Hopefully he likes it. Yeah.
And so right now.
And that was it. Yeah. That's how.
Right now, you guys, you have the website.
Uh-huh.
And on the website, people can go and purchase direct coffee, swag, all the gear there. And so, and then the next step is we're working on getting actual retail locations opened up. And you've got a few you're looking at in San Diego right now. Is that right?
Yep. I got one. Yeah. Yeah. A couple locations in San Diego we're looking at, and even toying with the idea in Arizona. But I think our first one's going to be in San Diego. The only reason why we wouldn't do San Diego is the regulations out here are a little bit tougher. Like it takes about a year to actually get open, going through all the permitting and everything like that. So it takes a while to get open. I mean, as you probably already know, you know, it takes a long time to get through all that red tape out here. Arizona is a little bit faster.
Yeah, and then will that whole new fast food thing affect you? The minimum
wage?
I
have no idea how that's going to come into play, to be honest with you, dude. That's another thing to factor in.
Yeah.
Like
$20 an hour.
Except for Panera Bread.
Apparently, I mean, that did get changed.
Oh, did that? Did it get changed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, how in the hell do you make a law and go, well, everybody else except for Panera Bread.
Except for the guy that happens to donate.
Who is the salesman for that? I need them. I don't know how that's going to come into effect. I don't know if that is a law that only stipulates if it's a chain restaurant with more than X amount of shops.
We'll have to I think there are some. There's some of those different kind of factors involved. I think you do have to have a certain amount of locations in order to,
But sure. That would probably hinder us opening a location, that many locations in California.
Yeah.
The problem is that I don't see us being a huge, like, we are a California brand. I love California. And that's the biggest problem I have. I love California. I just don't like the politics in California. So, like, you know, it sucks that we're, but also the rest of the country is a lot more patriotic and supportive of small businesses. So it's like, okay, it only makes sense. But again, there's a couple of things that we're factoring in with this thing too. Not only that, but we really want to open up a roaster too.
Okay. And then other question, as far as just kind of next steps and contacts and connections that would kind of help things along. Things like store design. You have, I imagine you have some ideas in mind for that.
I do. I do have some store designs. Yeah. I have, I'm envisioning, it goes evolved with a lifestyle brand, right? So people come in there, it's like a destination. Like people are coming in there with some really nice industrial looking tables, stuff like that. We're going to have a corner in the corner raised elevated spot where we're going to do our podcasting, because you know that's going to be a part of the business as well as talking with other veterans and their stories, and really have a place where it's going to be a central hub for people to come and gather, meet, and hold events. That's really what this place is about. It's about community, huge about community. I don't want to go into exactly what this thing is going to look like because I've already had some of my ideas taken, you know, and I'm just like, you know, so,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's cool. It's cool because I can come up with ideas all day long, man. That's the best thing about ADHD is your mind's always like navigating these waters, man, up in here. So I come up with ideas all day long. But I have this very vivid, as I'm looking at you, but I'm actually looking at my coffee shop right now, you know, so it's going to be a very hands-on customer-based centric, coffee shop. And the name says it all, you know, what you've seen while some people are saying, hey, your name's going to be a little bit too aggressive. I was like, great. You're just not my customer. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep. And then from the helping veteran side of things.
Yep.
So how exactly are you going about doing that? Like, what are the avenues that the, you know, kind of methods that you're doing on that front?
So right now we have, right now, everything that we do sell, a portion of the proceeds go to a charity called Shelter to Soldier. They take a shelter dog and train it to be a PTSD and emotional support animal for active duty and veterans. So that is one aspect. On the other ones, we have support the STEP, support the enlisted project. Every year they have like a toy drive and adopt a family. But we're really focusing on this coming year is adopting the family because they had, I think it was 50 families that didn't get adopted. And I was like, wow, we should have 50 people waiting just to adopt our families. So that's another big drive. And Support the Enlisted Project is about a what they do is like there's like 1% of people, active duty people that are homeless. Like I didn't even know that. I didn't know that was a real thing. And struggle and like getting almost evicted, don't have food in the, you know, I understand the food part. Don't have food in the fridge and for the kids because they don't get paid. Lower enlisted don't get paid a whole lot of money, even with their basic housing allowance. Because in San Diego, that BAH is what it's called, does not suffice to what they actually need. So I can see how they would be homeless or on the verge of homeless out here. So they help these military folks out who are in that dire straits, and they teach them financial resiliency, and they help them out, you know, to get them kind of back square where they won't get evicted or a place to stay or a car repair or whatever the case may be. So that's another aspect. And we're looking at a couple more charities that are out there. So I'm talking with a few right now because we need to get the word. We need to make the most impact as possible because they call it 22 a day. And that means 22 veterans are committing suicide a day. But that's an old number. It's not even 22 anymore. It's more like 30, 35, I think, was the last statistic. Like 35 veterans a day committing suicide. Completely asinine to me. I mean, it's not unreasonable because I can understand where they've come from. But that the coffee and this merchandise, I love it. I love it all. But this is just the vehicle. It's really what we're going to be doing for the community is what drives. That mission is really what drives us. And that's the same thing with the coffee shop. Everything that goes in this coffee shop, everything that we sell is going to go back into the veteran community, you know, a portion of it. Because that is wildly huge to me. Because I have been there. I have been a couple of pounds away from taking my own life. I understand. And I can understand the headspace we're in. And we just need to educate these guys of these and gals of like, let's not do it. Let's speak up. Speak up. Say something. You know, I'm here. You got my phone number on my website and go straight to me. So call me. I'll answer it. You know, that's how important this thing is. That's how important the mission is. And that's also one of our biggest pushes is hiring veterans or their spouses.
Yeah, okay. That's another thing I assumed that would kind of be, part of the game. Cool.
So it's great in that community, man. One thing I miss about most people miss about the military is the culture. And so that's what we're trying to build here is the culture of that military kind of feel where we can, do the off-color jokes and all that good stuff and have fun and kind of have that culture, that mentality, that military mentality back.
Sweet. Well, I love everything you're doing. I love the whole thing. The coffee flavors, all the stuff. I mean, it's great coffee, the branding, super fun. Obviously, the mission is amazing. So I love everything you're doing. Want to do everything I can to help and support. We'll get, on here. We'll have the website, and anything else you kind of want to share along there.
Any investors out there? We're going to be looking for investors.
Okay.
So yeah, we're going to need some investing into the coffee businesses. So,
Great. And I've got some, I can kind of follow up after this and talk to you about some different options there, some different directions, some connections I can help you make on that front.
that would be sweet.
Now, well, awesome. It's been great talking to you. Anything else you wanted to say before we call it?
Man, just go support us. Try our coffee out. We're gonna be all over San Diego in these coming months. So go follow us on the Instagram, Red, White, and Badass Brew. That'll be for all the updates. And go check us out online. And we have a lot of new swag coming out. We have some new coffee coming out. We got some things in the works that is just gonna be it's gonna be a good thing for everybody. And some fun things. So go check us out. Follow us, support us. You're supporting the mission. And and hopefully we'll see you at the grand opening of a coffee shop soon.
Perfect. Awesome, man. Well, as always, it's great connecting to you. Love hearing your story and looking forward to the grand opening of the first shop.
Oh man, I appreciate it, Brad.
All right. I'll see you, Dustin.
Thank you for listening to Executing the Vision. If you'd like to be a guest, go to emergelabs.us and click on the podcast page. If you like what you heard, please share the episode and subscribe. Ratings and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. You can find us on Instagram at brad.emergelabs, as well as X, Facebook, and LinkedIn, where we strive to provide valuable information on business and life. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the show and what you'd like to see in future episodes. Thank you again and have a great day.